Okay, so once again, I'm Emily Nocia. And I have nothing to disclose, but I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Healthy People 2030. So as I've mentioned, I've been in public health for more than 20 years. I actually have been in our office working on Healthy People for 17. So I have seen three iterations of Healthy People in production. That makes me feel like a dinosaur, but I'll just own it. So Healthy People is now going into its fifth decade. It's almost hard for me to fathom, but when we launched in 1979, we had 226 objectives. We now have over 1,200 objectives, and those are all evidence-based. So, you know, what does this tell us? This tells us that we have more science. We have more knowledge. We're moving in this direction of being able to track ourselves in a way that is almost sometimes, you know, you wonder if it's a little bit too much information. But it is the hallmark of Healthy People that we take into account the current science and the current knowledge. And over time, it's evolved into taking into account not only current pressing needs, including things like the AIDS epidemic. We now have a whole topic area on HIV. In addition to things like obesity and chronic disease, we have nutrition and overweight as a topic area. But over time, it has evolved not only to be upstream, but we also have specific information about all of the census populations, racial, ethnic, and you can see all the disparities that exist between racial, ethnic groups, between economic groups, educational groups for the objectives if it's a population-based objective. So Healthy People and its current development is now starting to look at developing 2030. Yes, I know, 5 years out. It takes about 5 years for us to develop the objectives, and we already are starting down that path. We draw on input from subject matter experts from within HHS and without outside of HHS, all across the federal government, and also from subject matter experts from all around the country, and when we can, international experts. It's a multi-year process that will go from now until 2020 when we launch it. And it is led by our office, the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. We coordinate across all of the agencies in HHS, including CDC, FDA, NIH, HRSA, ARC. Every agency, we work with them and make sure that we integrate the most current information. A cornerstone of Healthy People is the public comment period. So whereas in past iterations of Healthy People, we have identified the objectives and put them out for public comments through regional meetings, we did that only once a decade. Now we actually have public comments annually. We do it every fall. It's online. It's open to anybody who wants to comment. And then we will also do a big push when we are developing the 2030 vision, mission, overarching goals, when we do the objectives. We will also put them out for public comments. We welcome any comments and feedback that you all might have for us. But one of the things that we haven't determined yet based on limited resources is whether or not we're going to go out to the different regions. Whereas in the past we have gone out to regions to meet with people, we have been finding that individuals are tight for funds themselves and are not necessarily able to go to regional meetings to meet, and that it attracts us, those with funds more than those who don't have funds. So whether or not it's utilities available, we don't know whether or not that would be worthwhile. So how are we continuing to inform the development of Healthy People 2030? There are a variety of things that we use as tools to inform our development of the objectives, the direction that we're going to take the initiative. One of them is the mid-course review, which is an assessment at the mid-course of the decade for 2010 to determine where we are with progress. It also provides us with a perspective of which objectives still do not have data sources, are unmeasurable. We also look at the leading health indicators. Are we moving in the right trend? Are there some things that are quite resistant to change? We look at the progress reviews, which are assessments of each of the topic areas and all the objectives on a particular topic area. And then we'll do a full review of all of the objectives, all the 1,200 objectives on healthy people at the end of the decade. And that will also help us. So they provide us with status report on progress, but they also assess the status of measurable and developmental objectives, and they provide us with insights in terms of changes that we need to make as we move forward. So for example, if we have a number of objectives that remain developmental at the end of the decade, and that has been the case for 10 years, there is a question about whether or not we need to change the objective and the language of the objective, or whether or not that objective is just not measurable in some capacity and should just be removed. And then we also have a user study. So since 2001, Healthy HHS has been conducting user studies with stakeholders, either in non-governmental organizations, with states, with localities, with tribes, with policymakers and academics, to determine how people are using Healthy People, what elements and components of Healthy People are useful and which are not used. There's no reason for us to spend taxpayer money on tools that people don't utilize, and at the same time, if people want things like evidence-based resources, we will put our efforts into that. So we have done a number of iterations to assess the use and also to evaluate Healthy People, because, you know, just as we evaluate the health of the nation, we need to evaluate whether an Healthy People is working for the country. And we've made changes based on the information we get. We currently have a user study that's underway, and the results are expected in late 2016. And those results will inform 2030. So some of the trends that we're seeing are that there is interest from stakeholders to create a smaller, more manageable set of objectives. 1,200 objectives is a lot. We have been increasing every decade, so does that mean if we continue on the current trajectory that we're going to end up with 2,500 objectives for 2030? But is that helpful? So, you know, maybe we need to be scaling it back and making it smaller. There's also an interest in focusing on high key impact areas of public health concern. And but there's also still a continued interest in meeting a broad and diverse constituency. So being able to balance those smaller and high priority while at the same time being relevant to the broad and diverse community in which, in this great country that we live in, is going to be difficult. So just out of curiosity, how many people here would like it to be smaller?
Can I raise
the vote
button?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right, exactly. Right. So that's it for me. Questions? We have a small group today, so you know, please go ahead. Yes.
Thank you very much for being here at the presentations. I think that the addition of social determinants is really important to move forward, but I don't think that we move forward enough without putting the determinants as one of 12 of the leading health indicators, when the determinants, you know, really are shaping a lot of those other health indicators, doesn't give them really the status. Seems like a lot of what we're doing is looking at the symptoms and addressing those. And so the video you showed is great. We're actually working to try to do something similar in my community, but it's rescuing people that are in that mix. And I think we really need to look at income inequality as an important area and indicator, because that's really driving the housing issues and a lot of those other things.
Yeah, that's very helpful. What can I ask what you're doing in your community?
We're working with our university to get an internship program going with public health students, social service students to work in neighborhoods.
Mm. Very good. And where is that?
Washoe County. We're going to that.
Oh, okay, great. Wonderful. Yeah, no, I think that we... you know, those of us in the department who work on SDOH issues and the people who we've worked with are very eager to move the needle forward and to push that forward. But it's also a tenuous balance because if we push too far without a certain amount of evidence or literature, people tend to push back. So there are several people within the department and across the agencies that we're working with subject matter experts around the country to establish literature reviews that would go into the website that people can point to as these establish the relationship between this particular, these areas and health. So you can look forward to seeing those online. Just the speed at which that takes, it's a little bit slower than we would like.
And the increase in rentals that occurred as other people bought those properties. We've seen that in our community, and we're going to see that driving up those housing rates. And that's just going to drive that curve even more than long.
Right, yeah. That's what we suspect the same thing, because you could see the trend going up.
And I think you bring up a point that we struggle with sort of every day. So we wanted to raise the visibility of SQH and have it be sort of a standalone topic area, but we realized it cuts across all these other topic areas. So how do we have objectives specific to SDOH and an SDOH topic, but then highlight SDOH-related objectives that are included across all the people? And so that's sort of why we have these five domains, and we want to add new SDOH objectives to each of those domains, but we want to also highlight sort of related objectives across those 41 other topic areas that are also, that are SDOH-related as well. And as you can imagine, that's a huge number. And so thinking through, what is the best way to highlight SDOH as part of healthy people? Is it a continued topic area? Is it one of these overarching goals? Is it a mega indicator somehow? Is it ensuring that all of the objectives that we have in healthy people are somehow related to an SDOH? You can argue that every single one of them can be, and but I don't know, how that might limit or narrow specifics. But I think you're absolutely right in something that we think about a lot.
And one of the things that just to comment on Teresa's remarks is that as we move forward, we're trying to integrate it into all the different activities that we do. So we currently have a partnership with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and it is looking at laws that that actually have an impact on the development and movement towards the targets in healthy people. And so for each of the reports that's being done, nutrition and weight status, for example, there will be a piece related to social determinants of health within each report that's issued. So I would encourage you to, again, stay tuned for that. Each report will be a standalone discussion about different laws and a topic area, and it will include a discussion about the social determinants of health and how it's related. So it won't be, ideally it will be integrated into all of these pieces as opposed to an afterthought. Other questions? Yes.
The other thing that I'm interested in is using a more eco-social theory that Nancy Krieger promotes, and that the commission I think also promotes in their papers, versus an upstream, downstream kind of thing. And so what I think a lot about is how do we as a field focus on issues of discrimination by race, by class, by gender. We have deep inequities along the lines of those three, I think, are of particular interest to me. To give an example that I think we don't focus a lot on, but you're thinking about incarceration.
Yes.
But the 30, I think I heard just the other day, the 38 know there are some small pilots in their office program, but I mean, that's a structural issue of 30,000 lots and limited people of access, and that disproportionately impacts people of color, and so we know that the people of color, that we have health inequities that are, you know, that we can identify by race, and that speaks to the structural racism in our country. So I think these are very deep issues and big and challenging issues, and I'm sure you're thinking about them in your office, but I'm just wondering if you could kind of share.
Absolutely, yeah. No, those are very...
That was a lot, too.
No, excellent point. So the answer to your questions are yes and yes and yes. So yes, we are looking at the structural issues. So for example, as you mentioned, we are we are looking at the incarceration piece. We have been working over the past 18 months on trying to develop the literature around the discrimination piece and tackling that as part of our first foray into trying to get literature out to make the connection. And that's part of the reason why we have the incarceration objective now. but finding nationally representative data is difficult, so that's sort of one piece of that whole puzzle. In addition, you know, we are continuing to identify evidence-based resources like the community guide one about trying to provide structural means and policy changes, for example, that allow children to get early education from centers, especially low-income children. In terms of the equal social, we absolutely recognize that need. I think that because of the way that public health traditionally seems to be structured in terms of very siloed, and then we also have the medical healthcare community, things are very like disease, there's like always a trend. It's hard to move people from going downstream to, it's almost like people think on a downstream, upstream. It's hard to get them to think of that equals, you know, whole holistic model. But we are trying to do that. So for example, the video that Teresa showed, you know, it takes, we're talking steps, you know.
Yeah.
It's
a process for the field.
Yeah.
To the point of being a little more.
Right. Yeah. So we, you know, again, we're very open about trying to, you know, work in all different ways, and we'll take the opportunity when we can. But we do realize that it's complicated. And we appreciate the work that you guys are doing, because it allows us to provide people with examples. Again, we try to provide examples of how people are doing things out in the field. Like if we were to learn more information about your example in Nevada, then we could, you know, highlight that, because those kinds of things make it real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think just to follow up and specifically around your point around incarceration, I think healthy people are specifically focused on data and objectives. And that takes us to a point, but we also want to think a little bit more broadly of what do these objectives mean and how do we tackle them. And I think SDOH is sort of the topic area that lends itself best to that sort of bigger picture thought. You know, a lot of topic areas sort of set their objectives and track them, and that's really good. But with SDOH, I think we've tried to take it a little bit further and have sort of the objectives for that, but really think through sort of building out literature reviews and the summaries and having all the data to back up. Why are we choosing these specific domains? Why are we choosing these specific objectives? We're working with the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation to sit on, they have a re-entry council, so specifically looking at re-entry issues post-incarceration, and what does that look like, and how can we be involved in getting SDOH to the table and all these people in discussion and that. So, you know, I think it's a different realm for us, because it's not just the data and the objectives, but it's really thinking through sort of the bigger picture, whole person issues as well.
Other questions? Can I ask, for those of you who raised your hand, that you wanted it smaller, or are there other things that you want to see in healthy people? We try, I mean, our office is, although we coordinate large initiatives like healthy people and dietary guidelines and physical activity guidelines, our office is very, very small. And so we welcome your input. I mean, if you want to share with us that there are things that you want to see on the website, tools, are there things that would help you to do your work, this is the time to share it. Nobody? Yes?
I think I would look for more, and I don't think that we need to be more narrow, I think we need to be more holistic, so I think a lot about issues of
as a database to use the FBI directories and express embarrassment to us, right? So I mean, I think we're providing data on, you know, and it's not just that, it's the day-by-day experience with police that it is the most threatening race in the country. So I don't know if there's a good data source for that. I think it tends to be smaller sites like ACLU does in the by city kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, no, that's a good point. We try to highlight things also like the adverse child events studies, which some of you may be familiar with, in terms of, you know, early childhood events impacting the health of the child and into adulthood. Those kinds of things, you know, again, relate to the social and community context, and then also the long-term effects that, you know, individual events can have in your life. So, you know, as we develop the literature about discrimination impacting health, you know, we will be able to leverage that more in terms of working with organizations like working with the DOJ and others. But if you have ideas for objectives, if you have questions about healthy people, you can email to us or to the website. We have we encourage you to follow us on Twitter to join the listserv. We are trying to level the playing field in the sense that making everything available online and user-friendly. All of our tools we have tried to test with individuals so that they actually meet the needs of people who do the work, yourselves, not the bureaucrats who are behind the scenes. So, yes.
Hi, Ben here.
Yes.
I don't know if there's a question. You know, I teach health education, and I've been teaching for a long time. And by the way, I question your 17 years. I don't think that's true.
That's good.
It's so large, it's unusable. We used to have assignments where we'd ask our students to, you know, build a mock health education or health promotion program that, you know, involved like three objectives from the Health People 2000. And one objective that's not represented, you know, think outside the box, mm-hmm. where you see need, where you have not identified, and that's now an impossible assignment. There's over 1,000 objectives.
Yeah.
My students can't dream up something that's not somehow related to an objective. So,
you gotta get more creative. We get a lot of emails about objectives that are.
Well, my students are very bright. Yeah. But anyway, to sort of reiterate what this gentleman said in the very first comment, I would like to see more emphasis on the niche elements of Healthy People 2030, like the health indicators and the FDA. And I'm embarrassed to say I was unaware of what is it, data 2020,
mm-hmm.
until about 30 minutes ago. So, tools. And you guys, I'm sure you have it. Do you remember Healthy People 2000? The website was like
yeah, it was terrible.
It was so small. And it was,
yeah.
It was just like a collection, a short collection of long lists of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it is becoming more usable, but I'm mildly embarrassed that I wasn't even aware of the mm-hmm. tools that are available. So maybe broadcast it a little bit more
yeah.
and add to that, because we want to use it
mm-hmm.
in its current 1,000-plus objective format.
Yes.
It almost loses its validity, and I apologize if I'm down.
No, not at all. I mean, I think, you know, in the past, people, particularly states, so like every state has a Healthy People coordinator, every state has used Healthy People for its disease prevention, health and promotion planning. Several of them, like Healthy New Yorkers 2020, you know, they use Healthy People as a menu for selecting their objectives. I know that West Virginia, Healthy People West Virginia, they had objectives specific to gambling. And that's totally out of the box from Healthy People. We don't have one on gambling, so you could share that with your students.
That is creative.
Yeah. So I mean, that was originally what was helpful to people, to have this broad array and they could choose what they needed. But it comes to a point where it becomes too large. And so I think many of the people we're hearing that it's too large at 1,200. It needs to be smaller so that we can actually go through it and actually assess, even if we were going to use it as a menu. That's why we actually developed the Leading Health Indicators, was because it was getting larger. It was, you know, already more than 600 objectives, and people wanted something specific. Like, what are the main things we need to focus on? Something like the Leading Economic Indicators. So that's where we got the Leading Health Indicators. But, you know, again, it's one of those things where now it's perhaps too big and we need to pull it back and make it small. So that is helpful to know that. In terms of Data 2020 and other tools, I would definitely encourage you to try and check it out because it's a great tool. You can get, you can chart. You push the chart button, it charts anything that you want.
And I think that's my fault.
It's our, you know, the government does not allow us, we don't get money for communication, you know, we get money for implementing things. Congress will not give us funds to market. So our marketing has to be through webinars that are educational, you know, and we were one of the first offices in the department to start doing that because we're like, we have all these great tools, we have all this great information, but it's in a book. You know, now we're online. You know, now we've made our tools user-centered. Now we want people to be able to go and use it. Before I came to the department, I worked out in the field for New York State. I wanted all that data, but we could not find it. You know, so now it's all online. So, you know, if you have time, if you want your students to, you know, explore it for you, or, you know, do it, go for it, and then tell us what doesn't work, and we'll make changes. Mm-hmm. That's very helpful. Yes. Other questions? In the front and then in the back.
I just want to add on. I think maybe one approach is to make it more hierarchical. If you want to try to keep some of the broad to really build that pyramid more, so that people can filter down to the level that they want to be at. That way, you can emphasize what are the most important things. Mm-hmm.
That's very helpful to hear. Yeah, and I can share with you that we have had other countries, Korea, Israel, Egypt, I mean, Uruguay, China, Japan, they use healthy people for their disease prevention health planning too. So it's, you know, that's very helpful to hear because we want to make, you know, it's your taxpayer money. We want to make it useful for you. So yes, in the back.
So I was just going to comment on, you know, thank you for your openness and saying we, you know, we take all the feedback. You don't hear that a lot, so that's great. Thank you for that. I think a lot of us as public health practitioners, we use healthy people as in our comparison. You know, we're really good at, you know, going there and saying, where do we compare with healthy people? But from there, it becomes that actionable. Like, how do you then make it actionable? And some things are easy, and I would say that in general, when they assume that they're easy, actionable things, we're doing fairly well there, right? You know, if you're measuring, you know, vaccination rates and so on and so forth,
right.
You know, staff like that. If they can watch the needle move. You talk about those determinants of health. So hard to watch that needle move. The effort and what it looks like actionably. So as I think about it would be to just drill it down to action. Sometimes you're going through lots of, even when you use a community guide, you have to go in and sort of read and research. Does it fit? Doesn't it fit? I love it when you just punch in, like, here's our target audience. Here's the number. Here's their age group. Here's the issue. And sort of have it. Fit out, like, okay, here's a few interventions that have worked in similar communities and already do that little bit of research for you. Because sometimes it's just so overwhelming and you've gone through like three initiatives, you're like, well, a combination of those three might work more, mm-hmm. that portion is good or not even relevant, and you spend a lot of time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And in a day, when you put aside so much time to do it, you've done that, and you feel like you've got nowhere. So that's an idea that I thought might be helpful.
Yeah, no, that actually is very, that's a very good idea.
Thank you again for a really nice presentation. It's nice to be involved with
it. Oh, good. Well, that's a very helpful comment. We can actually look into that. But I'm glad that it's been helpful. Other? Yes?
Considering the average childhood experience and that question, I think you probably, haven't analyzed the list of objectives. I'm guessing you probably have them throughout in other areas, but packaging them together into a list might be helpful. Especially for folks who are considering adding the questionnaire onto, I think it was the third list that they would add it on.
Yes, yeah. So we actually have been in touch with CDC and HRSA who use some of those questions. And the surveys, including NHIS, are currently going a redesign. So it's always about, again, it's another balance. You know, people can only handle doing so many questions before they just start saying, oh, blah, 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 you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's expensive. You know, getting national representative data is very, very expensive. It's about $120,000 per question, you know, from like designing it, testing it, tooling it, you know, and then programming it, and then you have to all the field, and it takes time. So, you know, it's one of those things that, yes, we are trying to do that, but it's also a question of which one do we choose? Yeah, so yeah, that's a very good suggestion, yes. Others? Anyone? You get back early times in your day, then.
As the moderator, I grant you 16 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you.